Hollywood stands at the very nadir of hypocrisy. So many voices in Hollywood, from actors to writers to producers, loudly condemn gun violence, but are unwilling to condemn their own industry for promoting a culture of violence. So concludes a study by the Parents Television Council. We're going to talk right now with the president of the Parents Television Council. His name is Tim Winter. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And, of course, all of this discussion is taking place in the wake of the tragedy in Parkland. Tim, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Hey, Jerry, good day to you and to your listeners. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Sure. And this studio, just to put it in context, is about half an hour away from Parkland, where that terrible shooting was taking place. And everybody's blaming the guns. And you can understand the feelings that the young people have and the energy they're trying to bring to this issue. And, you know, no more. We don't want this to happen again. But nobody seems to be mentioning Hollywood's at least partial responsibility here, except you guys are.
Yeah, when you listen to to the scientific experts in the field, they point to not just any one, but three major reasons for shootings like this. One is guns in the hands of people who probably shouldn't have them. Second is mental health issue, and the third is a media environment that is truly toxic. It is in the air we breathe when we talk about the media violence. And so toxic is even, we talk about movies, we talk about TV and video games and music lyrics. Just the broadcast television networks alone, most of their shows have violence, and almost a third have gun violence. So when you turn on TV, you are desensitized. Almost every network on the air has just saturation levels of gun violence. And it's very explicit gun violence frequently. It's very bloody, very gory. But it really has an overpowering mental, emotional, and psychological effect, especially on children who consume it.
And then there's also games, video games.
Yeah, and with the video games, there's an added level of psychological impact. When you consume violent media, it does one thing. When you actually are the perpetrator of the violence through the video game controller in your hand, you're not just sitting back and watching. Mm-hmm. You're actually acting out the actions of the violence, murder, mayhem, and so forth is so common in many of the games today.
You know, by the way, this reminds me, many, many years ago, I guess there was a school shooting in Arkansas, and I believe the name of the city was Jonesboro. And the thing about it, okay, and the perpetrator was, he's just a kid, basically. The sheriff said he really felt sorry for him, but he said at one point, the sheriff said, the kid was curled up in a fetal position, and he said something like, "I kept waiting for the game over sign to appear," and it never did.
I think that was the same incident where the child asked the law enforcement people, "Was that real blood?" So, I mean, again, it's in their head, it's obviously there's a lot going on there with that individual, but the bottom line is that they have been trained, programmed, and they had gone through dress rehearsals. They had gone through dress rehearsals. It was like a blueprint for the children who are playing these games to then, take a real weapon and walk into a classroom.
Wow. And everybody wants to just blame the guns as if the guns, did it all and so forth. And obviously there needs to be some kind of common sense stuff related to that. But even there, those phrases can sometimes be used and then twisted and so forth. Now, I understand your own personal background. You used to be an executive with NBC and MGM, so you know the other side of it. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, I actually spent 15 years at NBC. I spent a couple of years at MGM, the MGM studios, actually in the digital media division that published video games. Published video games based upon the most popular MGM movie titles, like James Bond for the grown-ups, and even Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Babes in Toyland for the children. So we had a broad range. The type of violence you would see in a James Bond video game back in the day is hardly even in the same. It's hardly even tough to call it violence compared to the violence you see today in the video games, where You know, you see the gunshot, you see, you know, literally heads explode, brains fly, blood pour. I mean, it's so explicit. It's and it's become ever more so realistic. And, you know, as a species that is very visually driven, visually stimulated, when there was some research done a few years ago at the Indiana University School of Medicine, and they found that children who were playing these violent video games had the same chemical reaction in their brain as if it were real violence. That's how realistic some of the stuff is.
Wow. You know, now obviously there are some who would say, oh, you know, the social scientists say that there is no link between the watching and the viewing. And they'll say the same thing if you start talking about sexually suggestive programming. And an obvious rebuttal would be, well, okay, if the programming makes no difference in how people act, then why is it that advertisers will spend millions of dollars during the Super Bowl to try and get their 30-second advertisement seen if there's no impact, you know?
That's exactly right. I mean, when you look at the entire business of television, and radio, for that matter, you know, broadcasters are supported by advertisers. Last year, advertisers spent over $80 billion on television advertising just in the United States. That's not international, and that's cable and broadcast both. So $80 billion spent for TV advertising, the sole purpose of each and every one of those $80 billion was invested to change the behavior of the viewer. And so, you know, you can't now step back and say that once the commercial is over and the show comes on, that the ability to change the viewer has gone away. And you mentioned this, the scientists. There are scientists who say there is no link between the media consumption and the child's conduct. But many of those studies are underwritten either directly or indirectly by the industry, by Hollywood. Hollywood has basically tapped into one researcher who personally produces violent media, and he's the biggest voice out there saying there's no harm from violent media. So it's a huge conflict of interest.
You're saying that one particular individual, do you mind if I ask his name? I mean, is it all right to say?
His name is Dr. Christopher Ferguson. He's in Florida. He's at Stetson University. And he is the primary driver of the research that says there is no harm to children from violent media. He personally produces violent media. So you tell me. I mean, if it's like saying we're going to go to a tobacco farmer and have him do research on whether tobacco products are harmful to your health when you smoke them. It just seems so upside down to me that you would ever rely on such a so-called scientist when the overwhelming weight of other scientists, including, by the way, the American Psychological Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, Centers for Disease Control, RAND Corporation, and a host of others, all have said there's either not just correlation between the consumption and the behavior, but causation, meaning there is a cause and effect impact from the violent media.
Let me ask you a question of you on a personal note here. When you left working with NBC and MGM, and then you went on to become the president of the Parents Television Council, did any of the, you know, your former colleagues say, oh, you traitor? I'm just curious.
I still have a host of friends. You know, when you have decades worth of relationships, you wonderful friends over the course
sure.
of my career, I've kept up most of those friendships. Some of them have at one time or another kind of thumbed their nose at me for doing what I'm doing. The irony is that so many of them tell me privately how proud they am that I'm doing what I'm doing.
Wow.
That, you know, that they really, you know, there needs to be something done. We've, you know, things have gone too far. We need a voice that pushes back, and good for you. And it's sometimes I am literally reaching into their wallet and trying to pull money out of their pocket by telling the advertisers, don't sponsor these graphic shows, sponsor something else. But what we always try to do is say, instead of this program that is sexually explicit or profane or violent, please sponsor this other show on the same network that is less offensive, that is more family friendly. And the idea is that, you know, we're not trying to punish a network. What we're trying to do is make sure that advertisers know exactly where their dollars are going.
Excellent. Is the Parents Television Council, is that connected in any way with the Media Research Center, or is it at least your kind of fellow travelers in a sense?
I guess you could say we're first cousins. We have the founder of the Media Research Center is Brent Bozell, and Brent was the founder of the PTC originally.
Oh.
Our co-founder was Steve Allen. You may remember Steve
yes,
Allen.
Yes, I've interviewed both those gentlemen. I interviewed Steve Allen, back in California, and I've interviewed Brent Bozell multiple times. In fact, speaking of cousins, he's my second cousin, literally.
Small world.
Yeah.
But Brent, Brent was the visionary behind the need for the PTC. The PTC is nonpartisan, where his Media Research Center, is looking to expose liberal media bias. He felt that the PTC, by definition, really needed to be nonpartisan or bipartisan. Well, nonpartisan, really. And it was interesting because as conservative as Brent is, our co-founder Steve Allen was liberal.
Yeah.
And isn't it wonderful to have a cause where both sides can agree that,
sure,
that we're talking about protecting children from something harmful here?
Plus, I would also say that for the most part, it seems that MRC focuses on the news side of things, whereas you all are dealing with the entertainment side of things. Now, you mentioned Florida earlier. I understand you came down to Parkland. Was that in reference? Obviously, it would have to do with the shooting. Tell us about that.
Well, I have been here in the state, your beautiful state, and boy, what a wonderful time of the year to be here, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
But it's been a combination of reaching out to local activists in the area, reaching out to local media, also reaching out to local philanthropists who are equally as concerned about this issue as we are. And because we are a nonprofit, the only source of income we have is through charitable donations. So it's we're very blessed to be in an area that is so supportive of our work here in Southeast Florida.
And I understand that since Newton, okay, so here we had the shooting in Newtown, rather, in 2012, as I recall, December 2012 in Connecticut. And yet, despite that and all the brouhaha, the violence on TV and in the video games has just gotten worse since then. Is that correct?
Yeah, you would think that after, a slaughter of children where the gunman, again, basically rehearsed all of his work through the violent video games, you would think that there would be greater responsibility for those who produce and market and distribute those violent media products. We did an actual quantification of how much violence and gun violence there is on primetime broadcast television, just over the air, not cable, not the premium networks, the movie channels, broadcast television. And just since Newtown, we've seen a spike up in both violent material on television and gun violence. Right now, 61% of all entertainment shows on television include violence. 39% include gun violence. Mm. So when you turn on, the average family is watching television during primetime broadcast TV, there are whether intentionally or accidentally consuming hours after hours after hours every week of very violent entertainment content. And the scientists tell us that it has a degrading effect, a desensitization on us. Mm. And we become less shocked, less appalled, and less concerned by the violence. And in order to receive the same stimulation, we have to have something even more violent. And sadly, that seems what Hollywood wants to pump out.
Okay, we have about a minute to conclude. What would you like to say in, as a closing thought?
Well, folks in Hollywood, the way you opened up this interview with me today, folks in Hollywood say they hate violence. They hate gun violence. And yet every single night, every night of the week, every theater, movie theater, what you see is gun violence after gun violence after gun violence in what they actually produce and market. It's the height of hypocrisy. We have a voice. We have an opportunity to do something about it. We can be better informed in terms of our media consumption choices. Parents have to be more on the ball. But we can also talk to the advertisers and ask the advertisers, ask the corporations that we use every day. We go to the McDonald's, we buy something from Sears or from Walmart. There are good advertisers and bad advertisers, and just know who the good ones are so you can spend your money there, reach out, raise a voice, because if we're silent, it means acceptance.
Wow. Tim Winter, thank you so much for joining us. ParentsTV.org for more information. All the best, Tim. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.